Welcome to the Intuitively You podcast, where we chat all things intuitive eating, body image, finding peace with food, and so much more. I'm your host, Jen Baswick, intuitive eating dietitian and embodiment coach, and I'm your guide along your journey to food freedom so that you can improve your relationship with food and your body to no longer hold you back from living your best, most fulfilling life. We'll be chatting about all the real talk, the tips and tricks, the struggles, and most importantly, how you, yes you, can finally find peace with food and your body. After each episode, I'll be sure to wrap it up with some takeaways for you to implement in your life, so make sure to stick around until the end. Now, let's dive into today's episode. In this episode, we are diving into the topic of how to do meal planning with intuitive eating. And at first glance, these two things going together may feel conflicting in your mind because potentially the idea of meal planning feels like something that's very rigid, regimented, structured, and then the idea of intuitive eating feels very like wishy-washy, free-flowing, like just do whatever you want, all that kind of stuff. And they seem like two opposite things, but I really want to tell you that they can coexist. And honestly, I think they should coexist. And in this episode, I am going to share with you why and how we can do that, how both meal planning and intuitive eating can coexist, and why, you know, the way that I'm going to talk about meal planning might not be the way that you've thought about meal planning in the past. I know that it wasn't the way that I used to think about it for sure. I used to think about it in such a different way. So what we'll really do, what my plan is to chat with you about is what meal planning might have been in diet culture land when our mindset is stuck in diet culture, what that kind of looks like, and then why that kind of meal planning is not what I'm talking about here with what we do in intuitive eating, and how it can really support you and how it can really help you in moving forward on your intuitive eating journey and towards food freedom. And then some things to think about when it comes with this type of meal planning that can be really supportive for you. Some tips, I'll give you like a glimpse into what I typically do. And I think this will be something that is, yeah, just a really helpful tool to have. And I know I put a poll up earlier into my Food Freedom Friends broadcast channel, I believe that's what they're called, on Instagram, to vote on the topic for this episode, and this was the most voted one. So I'm really excited to share with you all exactly what you want to hear. So let's dive into it. I think first of all, really the idea of meal planning that you might have, whether you are maybe still dabbling in diet culture, you're just kind of new to intuitive eating, or you have a past of participating in dieting or anything kind of related to it, clean eating, like any types of things that go kind of under that umbrella. If you are, you know, even if you are someone who has been practicing intuitive eating, you still might have these thoughts like lingering in the background and not necessarily be aware of it. So when we are in that more rigid way of eating, we think things need to be perfect and it's very all or nothing. Really that like diet mentality. Often when you think of meal planning from that place, it is of course rooted in diet culture. It is something that's very rigid. It doesn't feel like there's any room for flexibility. It feels like if you don't follow the plan, you've failed in some kind of way and you are a failure for not being able to follow it, all that kind of stuff. Also, meal plans, the idea of meal planning could be, you know, give you the feeling of like restrictive, like anytime you've maybe done something like that, that is called meal planning in the past. It's been something that has, yeah, made you feel deprived and restricted around food, like not allowing you to have certain amounts or certain types of food or whatever, very restrictive. Honestly, just the thought of meal planning, like as I was on my healing journey, The thought of meal planning was something that just like instantly kind of hit me with like feeling miserable. Like just the thought of following some kind of meal plan made me feel miserable because I was so used to doing it the diet mentality way, the diet culture way. And that way honestly just feels like jail. It feels like you are put into this jail and you are, you know, it's very unattainable, very unachievable. And you just, it just constantly makes you feel like shit. And I don't want that for you. And that is definitely not the way that I approach meal planning now with my clients in a more intuitive way. It doesn't involve any of that stuff. It is not rigid. It is not restrictive. It does not make you miserable. It does not feel like jail. It is not rooted in diet culture. And really the kind of meal planning in any of those types of diet plans, whether that been like someone wrote up a meal plan for you or, you know, an app told you whatever meal plan you should follow, or it was something like a PDF that you bought from some coach or something. All of that stuff is not what we do with intuitive eating and not how I teach meal planning. But really reframing it, and even if you want to use like different words for it, if that's something that's helpful for you, if just the words meal planning feels, you know, dense and off, makes you feel off, you can replace that with whatever words that you want. Maybe it's like your nourishment plan or eating for self-care or whatever you want to call it. But I'm going to refer to it like in this episode as meal planning, just because I think it's the most clear. We can all kind of get on board with that. So I'll stick with that lingo, but know that if that brings up resistance for you, you can change those words. But meal planning really, like in this more intuitive way, can be such a supportive thing to do to have some structure and support for yourself in your intuitive eating journey. And like the matter of fact is a lot of folks, including myself, thrive with some sense of structure, with flexibility, of course, and without rules, of course. And without any sense of that structure, it can end up just feeling like this one big overwhelming free-for-all of eating, where you just end up eating whatever sounds good on the fly, but it doesn't leave you feeling great afterwards either. Or however that scenario might go for you. Like if you are someone who's like, oh, intuitive eating is just kind of eat whatever you want, whenever you want, and whatever you feel like, and that's what you go for, and it's just this wishy-washy thing, that can be really overwhelming, and that can feel almost like something that stops you from progressing in intuitive eating because that just feels really overwhelming. And maybe it doesn't for you, but I know for me and a lot of my clients that that can feel really overwhelming, just having this big question mark of always, what am I going to eat? I don't know what I want to eat. I'm not sure. I'm lost. I have nothing to eat. I don't know what to make right now. Like I'm hungry and I'm starving, but I don't have anything thought of or prepared. And I'm just going to like end up raiding the pantry and eating all the snacks. And then I feel crummy, right? That's a common thing that happens when we don't have any plan at all. So some sense of structure can be so supportive to just have this, yeah, nourishment plan for yourself in place so that you're not left guessing and wondering and thinking like, what the heck am I going to do? Like, what am I going to eat? Because the matter of fact here is that us as humans, we need to eat multiple times a day, every day. There's no getting around that. And this may sound funny coming out of my mouth as a registered dietitian and someone who works with people on the relationship with food. I don't know about you, but I don't love the task of making myself food all the time. Like I honestly don't. I don't enjoy that task. I love eating food. I love enjoying food. I love having good food. But the whole task of like, I got to cook for myself daily and make food for myself daily. Like sometimes that just feels exhausting. And I think it's important to be honest about that. And some people really, really love it. And that's wonderful. And I will say sometimes I do really love getting into like a cool new recipe and trying it out and cooking and doing all of that stuff. Like I used to work at a cooking school for kids. Little fun fact to throw in there. It was one of my favorite jobs I've ever had. It was so much fun. We like literally got to have kids of all ages come in, and we would run summer camps or do field trips, and we would teach them how to cook. And it was just like so much fun. But anyways, that's total side tangent. But I don't love cooking for myself all the time. And if I am left, I know from my own past experience, and again, this is an experience a lot of my clients have too. If I'm left of just, you know, trying to do something on a fly for eating, I know something that doesn't necessarily happen to me often anymore, but when I used to be in that place, if I'm just left to figure it out as I go, it's going to not end up serving me very well. Like the meals that I have in that state would just be, you know, just so not supportive for how I wanted to feel. And knowing that having some kind of structure to give myself that baseline nourishment where I don't have to think about it so much. I don't have to feel like last minute about it all the time and just like, ugh, I have to like come up with something again. All of that like mental gymnastics can be eliminated with a little bit of structure and a little bit of meal planning, again, in an intuitive, flexible way. So some tips for you, some things to think about as it comes to how we do this like meal planning idea with intuitive eating in a non-diet, non-restrictive way. Really, when I talk about meal planning, I'm really just talking about setting yourself up for success to eat, to be able to feed yourself. That's it. It is not some strict plan that you have to follow or anything like that. It is just, how can we get an idea of what I'm going to have, what I'm going to eat, so I know what's coming, I have something on hand, I don't have to do the like, what am I going to eat every day, every meal, to really take a lot of that decision fatigue out of it, because that's something that really happens here is the decision fatigue it takes to think about what you're going to eat all the time. And planning in this flexible way can take some of that decision fatigue out of things. And I know, I'm sure life is busy and there's lots of other things that take our mental energy. And this is why I think healing your relationship with food is so important, because it helps us get our brain space back too. But all in all, doing a little bit of some kind of meal planning in whatever way it works for you. Of course, I'm going to share these tips, but I want you to customize it to you, what works for you in your life. And everyone's going to be different of however this looks for you. And I think it's important to find your sweet spot and maybe experiment with things to figure that out. But I think a big piece of this is really taking the decision fatigue out of eating, a task that we need to do every day, right? And the matter of fact of it is sometimes we may not feel like we want to, right? Like we don't want to deal with the cooking. We don't want to deal with making food for ourselves, and making it easier for ourselves on a daily basis is so important, because we do need that nourishment. Our bodies do need that nourishment to be able to function our best. So what I want you to do with meal planning is to first really just think of, and you know, you can do meal planning on any kind of basis that you want. I think the most common one that most people do, or most people fall back into, is weekly, right? Like 1 week ahead is enough for you to, you know, have an idea of what's coming, but not plan too far in the future, and, you know, not have to think about it every day. It's like giving you some buffer time where it's not too much of a big time frame that it also feels overwhelming. So weekly is what I do as well. Not that it's perfect by any means. I think that's really important, but really just thinking about, okay, maybe it's a week or so that you think about ahead. And really the idea of meal planning in this flexible way is to just come up with some kind of loose idea of what it is that you're going to be eating for the upcoming week or so, or whatever timeline. And this just looks like, it's honestly, when I was thinking about this episode, I'm like, is it just like, it's not that complicated. It can be really simple. I'm like, is this too simple for me to share? And like, no, it's not, because we like to overthink things. But my stance is that eating doesn't have to be complicated. We can make it easy, and simplifying this kind of stuff helps. So really, again, thinking about that upcoming week or so, getting some kind of loose idea of what it is that you're going to eat. So what I mean by that is just choosing a few different meals or recipes to go off of. And maybe you have things that feel easy to you to make and things that you enjoy making or things that you enjoy eating. And you want to start there, I would always recommend starting with something that feels easy. I know I'm someone who, if I'm like scrolling on Instagram or TikTok and I come across a recipe that looks easy or looks like something I would enjoy, I will send it to either myself or now my partner and I. We have not a group chat because it's only two of us, but a chat on Instagram that's like labeled food, and I'll send it there and we will kind of have this compilation of meals that we might want to play with or try. And I just go there. I go to wherever I'm sending myself these ideas to, like, if I want to try something new, that's where I'll go. But I also have some go-tos and I'll talk about that in a minute. But really just choosing a few different ideas of meals that you're going to have for the week. And this is helpful because it's not just leaving you to get to that point where it's lunchtime and you're looking around, and if you work from home, or it's dinner time and you are looking around and you're like, well, I have nothing to eat. Like, there's nothing here to put together. It's kind of eliminating that because you've already thought about it. And this can really help you to have something prepared, whether it be just that you have the groceries or you like doing kind of batch prepping, things like that. But it also really just helps you to figure out what to buy for groceries. So you're not just going to the grocery store being like, what do we want to get? Like, you are actually intentionally buying your groceries based on the meals that you are wanting to make. And I think the amount of meals or how much of each of the meals that you want to make is totally up to you. I definitely love making a little extra at meals so that there's leftovers for either that, like a couple days, or the lunch the next day or something like that, because I just find that easier and works for me really well. So that's kind of like step one, or it at its simplest, is really all you need to do is just have an idea of what meals is it that I'm wanting to have and what groceries am I going to buy to do that, period. And then you have this loose idea. Like, you can get a little bit more structured with it if you want to, in the fact that, okay, we'll have, I don't know, tacos on Tuesday. Why not? Taco Tuesday, duh. And, you know, we're going to have this stir fry on Thursday. I don't know. You can make it more like structured if that's something that is helpful for you. Oftentimes, I will just buy the groceries for a few different meals and then see when it comes to what happens in the week, how that actually, like, the cards fall, if you will, if that's the phrase I'm thinking of, how things end up going when I will actually make those meals. Like, you can schedule in a time to make them for yourself or whatever, however that works for you. You can get as structured or as not structured as you want to with that. I think the key and my next point I want to share with you is to keep it flexible. And this is the big difference, I guess, between diet culture meal planning and this kind of meal planning, is there are no rules. By you coming up with an idea of just generally what you're going to eat for the week, it doesn't mean that you are tied to that exactly. And it's okay if you deviate from it. It is totally okay to deviate from the plan. It's not a rigid plan anyways. It's not meant to be perfect anyways. And it's not meant to keep you in a box. So being flexible with it is the key thing. And I think another piece that goes along with this flexibility is, you know, if you have something planned for yourself or something already pre-made for yourself, if that's, you know, not what you're wanting, that's okay, right? That's okay. I'm going to talk on that point a little bit more to come, but it's okay. Or if that, what you had prepared already, wasn't quite satisfying enough and you need something extra, also okay, right? Like, we don't know how to exactly predict how much food we're going to need at an exact given time. That's what our hunger and fullness cues are for. That's what working with our body is for. And if what you made wasn't quite enough and you need a little bit more, that doesn't mean that you failed, right? That's what the traditional diet culture meal planning tells you. That's not it here. If you need a little bit more, honor that, listen to that, have a little bit more, or get a little something extra to add to that meal or whatever it is. It's fine to be flexible. And another piece of the flexibility that I want to mention too is also bringing in snacking throughout the day. a lot of people are like, oh, well, it's only these three meals a day and that's all I'm allowed and snacking is a bad thing. Snacking is not a bad thing. Snacking is a very supportive thing, something that I do, something that I encourage folks to do. And I have a whole episode on snacking, if that's like a touchy subject for you or if that brings up some mental gymnastics when we're thinking about it. I have a whole episode I recorded on snacking, so I'll link that for you in the show notes if you want to check that out after this episode. But keeping it flexible means that, yes, maybe you have an idea of the meals that you want to have or you're going to have or you have prepared for yourself, but you're still listening to your body, right? You are honoring that hunger and fullness. Maybe you end up eating earlier than you thought you would, or maybe you end up eating more or less than you thought you would, and that's all fine. It's just having the meal itself already figured out so we don't have to think about all of it all the time. Hopefully that makes sense. So really just keeping it flexible. And then another point that I want to make is to not forget about having fun in the mix. Because I think this also stems from diet culture. When we think meal planning, we're like, oh, it has to be the healthiest thing ever. That's it. That's the point. No. And I think that obviously comes back to the whole idea of that we have like healthy versus unhealthy or good versus bad foods. And we have to make a meal plan because it's supposed to be like this perfect thing. It has to be the healthiest thing in our minds. And that's like, yes, it's all healthy. And I'm only using that language because I know that's what our brains think when we're stuck in diet mentality. But really, like, a healthy, balanced diet includes fun. And forgetting to add fun into your grocery shopping and your eating and things that you have in the house and available to you and allowing yourself to have that fun, don't forget about that. Because if we are keeping the fun foods out of the house to avoid them, then we're going to feel more out of control around them. And that's not how we make peace with food and feel comfortable, cool, chill, collected around food. So keep fun foods on hand, have them built into the mix. And maybe even this includes like eating out from time to time. It doesn't mean that you have to have home cooked meals every single day. No, all of it fits, right? The fun foods fit, the eating out fits, having your home cooked meals fit. All of it is in a healthy, balanced lifestyle and eating pattern, right? So don't forget to add fun. Something I love to encourage my clients to do is come up with a list of like go-to meals to lean back on. So things that you like, things that are easy for you to make. And something you can also think about with that point is keeping some things on hand that are super freaking easy. What can you keep, say, in the freezer or the pantry? That's a, if, you know, grocery shopping didn't happen on time or you don't have anything on hand and the plan, you know, however things didn't fall in the way that you planned for them to, you have something on hand anyways to kind of fall back on. Or you're really just not feeling like cooking and you don't have the energy or the capacity to do it that day, you have something easy to fall back on. So really having like easy options on hand at all times is super, super important. And some examples of that that I like to keep for myself is like we always have, say, like pasta, rice, soups, like different things like that in the pantry. And we also always have some kind of frozen, like already pre-cut vegetables in the freezer or some kind of like protein in the freezer that's just not much prep involved. Like it's kind of like a heat it and eat it type of situation. Whatever feels easy to you, it can be really truly anything. It doesn't matter. But whatever feels super easy, or like having even pre-prepared meals in the freezer that you just need to heat up and that's it. And you can just take care of yourself in that way. So having like go-to meals, things on hand. Another piece that falls into this meal planning bucket is also meal batching. And this is something that some people like, some people don't. And it's totally up to you. I honestly am a fan of it when I get to do it. Not that I do it all the time, but when I do some meal batching for myself and when my partner and I do it, it feels really nice because everything's already made for a certain number of days. Like it would just look like, for example, making food once, but making like multiple portions of it so that you can eat it for, say, the next 3 days of lunches or dinners, or you can freeze it, right? Like, it could be anything. I feel like that, to me, helps me take a lot of the decision fatigue of cooking out of the mix and helps me to show up in my life more in the way that I want to. So that can be something that's really supportive too. But yet again, I do think with meal batching, it's really important to remember, like, how do I make this fun and taste good and something that I'll actually enjoy, and not just trying to default to, like, how can I make this the cleanest version of whatever? Like, really, all of that applies to everything that I'm sharing. But meal batching is another thing to keep in mind if that's supportive to you. And then maybe the last piece that I want to share, because I don't want this episode to go on too long, is really like this idea of eating as self-care. And there's a couple things that kind of go under this bucket. I think first and foremost, if you are someone who is a listener here and you are someone who wants to heal and overcome, you know, binge eating, overeating, emotional eating, feeling out of control around food, feeling stressed about food, having this baseline of nourishment where you are having, you know, regular meals throughout the day, snacks in between, you're taking care of your body from that baseline place of nourishment is so important for healing and improving your relationship with food. Like, that is the foundation. If our body isn't getting enough nourishment and energy from what we're eating, it's really hard to, you know, move forward and work on all of the awesome mindset stuff that I love to work with my clients on and dive into more of the emotional stuff. Like, if our body doesn't have energy, we don't have quite the capacity to take into consideration all of those things. And your body will also default to taking care of you physiologically, biologically, if you're not taking care of it and use all of its energy there. So that could be a whole, like, side tangent, but eating as an act of self-care is making sure that you're getting that baseline nourishment in. And this kind of, like, loose, flexible, intuitive meal planning can be really supportive for that. And also another component of this eating as self-care is that sometimes what you've prepped or planned might not be, like, the most mentally satisfying option for you, like, in that moment when you're going to have it. And I want you to know that that's okay. That might be surprising to hear that from me, because I think sometimes we get this idea in our minds that with intuitive eating, every single food option that we're having has to be the most satisfying thing and the, like, perfect option for me to choose in that moment. And it just sounds so good and so perfect. And that's not necessarily the case. Like, yeah, it's nice to choose, like, the most satisfying thing when you can, but sometimes you don't. And that's also fine. Like, eating that meal that's prepped already or planned already, and it's maybe not the most satisfying thing, maybe having that meal is the best decision for you in the moment, right? Maybe that's truly just an act of self-care to give your body the physical nourishment that it needs, and that's fine, right? And if you need some more of that mental satisfaction, you can add that in, or, you know, whatever. Or maybe that meal is not what you need at that moment and you want to save that prepped meal for tomorrow. That's also fine. There's no rules. And I think that's where we get tripped up with this, is like that there's no rules, but it's finding this beautiful balance between creating structure for yourself, but also knowing that you can change your mind. You can be flexible. There's no rules. It's not rigid. You can be fluid with it and you can play with it and you can work with your body instead of trying to be so perfect and all or nothing about what you're eating and how you're eating. So that's, I think, everything that I want to share with you for now on this idea of meal planning with intuitive eating. I think it's such a topic that can feel so confusing, and I hope I clarified some things for you here in this episode. If you have any further questions, feel free to DM me on Instagram, or if you're listening on Spotify, there is that kind of, like, Q&A box or question box you can submit your thoughts in. You can always post that there and I can, you know, touch on it or answer it somewhere else in my content too. If you have any other further thoughts on this topic, I would love to hear them. And if you have any takeaways from this episode, or if you had any aha moments, I would love to hear those as well. And if you want to either share on Instagram and tag me at The Intuitive Nutritionist, or send me a DM about your aha moments or takeaways anytime, I would so love to hear them. I love interacting with you guys more. But thank you so much for tuning into the podcast yet again. And I hope this was really helpful. And I think I want to leave you with, if you are going to dabble in some form, way, shape, or form of meal planning with intuitive eating, really check in on your mindset around it and how things are feeling for you. And if anything's ever feeling like too, like you're leaning back into that more rigid, restrictive way of eating, maybe that's a moment for you to, you know, dial back or reach out for support. Or if it's just feeling confusing, maybe you need some support to help guide you through it. And know that I'm here for that too. So I want you to thrive. Definitely always use your intuition with any of this stuff. Figure out what works best for you and your body and your life. And that's what this is all about, making eating work for you, making eating feel easier and more, you know, intuitive and more enjoyable in the long run, instead of being this thing that feels so stressful. So I hope you have a lovely rest of your day, and I will chat with you in the next episode.
Thanks so much for listening to the Intuitively You podcast. You can find the show notes from today's episode along with all the takeaways at theintuitivenutritionist.com/podcast. Let's connect on Instagram. You can find me at the.intuitive.nutritionist. Be sure to share and tag me when you're listening along. And if you're loving the podcast, I would be so honored for you to go ahead and hit that subscribe or follow button and leave a review. I'm so happy you're here and learning how to better your relationship with food, your body, and yourself. Until next time, keep on living intuitively you.